Please get some rest now. We may return later with more questions. Anything. Timms glanced at Lara. Anything for the commander's sister. He talked about you, ma'am. Said you could help. Lara started to reply, but Mitch motioned her into the hallway. He waited for two doctors to pass them by, and whispered low, "What do you think Timms meant by the Revenant?"
"I've heard the term before, but in a children's story. Kalendra is an old Creed name. Can we trust anything he or the other Terrans say? They were stuck between phases for over 2 weeks. We have no idea what kind of toll that takes on their bodies or their minds. Clearly, Timms is only partially coherent." She had to hope that a rescue wasn't already too late. She clenched a fist, wishing she could share her twin's pain. Mitch caressed her arm.
"It would be just like Rafe to secure their release ahead of his own. I hate to think what he sacrificed to make that happen."
Lara nodded but couldn't meet his gaze. "I need to know those coordinates, Mitch." Raphael might be in pain right now. Was Timms telling the truth about seeing ghostly beings made of light? Or had his mind been damaged in the wormhole? No one knew the effects of long-term wormhole exposure.
"We have to be careful. I don't want a repeat of what happened on our trip here. I can't go off searching for the interlace with half the crew incapacitated."
"Who knows what kind of torture Raphael could be living through right now? My brother is living in agony for the lives of the Terrans here in this hospital. Does the Union value Chimerans so little that they'd leave them to suffer?"
"You know that's not true, especially of me. Don't start jumping to conclusions."
Lara pointed a finger at him. "Then why are the coordinates classified? Why hasn't the Union sent out a fleet of ships hunting down the interlace? Why haven't you released the logs to me?"
Mitch rubbed the back of his neck. "I've told you everything I can right now."
"Bullshit, Mitch. You said you understood how the Chimerans have been treated differently, and I believed you."
"I should know better."
She stepped away, but Mitch grabbed her arm before she could walk very far.
"I do understand."
His dark eyes narrowed, and he glanced down the hall.
"This way."
He pulled Lara into an empty exam room. Supply carts were stacked against one wall, and heavy drapes pulled over large windows. A sliver of golden sunlight speared through the gap between the curtains.
"Finally." Lara crossed her arms.
"Tell me."
Mitch sat on the edge of an empty bed. "I can't tell you everything."
Lara turned to leave.
"Lara, wait. Come on. You're not part of the Union anymore. You've made that clear. Do you want me to betray the Union? I really can't tell you everything, but there are a few details I can share. I'm trying here. Are you?"
Lara turned, let her arms fall wide, and leaned against the closet. "You're not giving me much to work with," he sighed.
"The Interlace was on an experimental mission. We're not ready to fill the Creed in on the nature of their expedition."
"You have to now. This is no longer a search mission, but a rescue. If the rest of the Interlace crew is being held against their will by this Revenant, we can't go after them alone. It's suicide."
Mitch slid off the bed and wandered to the window. His back to her, he opened the drapes, and warm orange light glowed around his tall form.
Her ire melted on an exhale, and melancholy wrapped itself around her heart. Deep down, Lara needed Mitch to trust her, even if that meant betraying the Union. But he would lose her respect with that disloyalty. The Union still meant more to him than she did. That hurt, even if her expectation was unfair. Taut shoulders revealed a body filled with tension. Unlike all those years ago, the man was now caught between two worlds. Mitch still needed to preserve order, any kind of order. In his book, order equaled peace. 11 years ago, he would not have even tried to find some common ground, but now he reached out to her as far as he could. She owed him the same in return. Years ago, for a little while at least, they'd been happy, living in their little apartment by the canal. If the Chimeran decree had never happened, they might have stayed together. Lara crossed to Mitch, wrapped her arms around his chest, and rested her cheek on his back. listened to his heartbeat. Mitch settled a hand over hers and interlaced their fingers. On a sigh, he turned in her embrace and pulled her close.
"I want to tell you everything," Mitch whispered in her ear,
and a dam broke, flooding her insides with yearning. He kissed his way from her brow to her lips.
"I wish I could."
His touch became more insistent as Lara wound her hands under his jacket. They moved as one across the room. The edge of the bed brushed against her thighs just before they fell onto it. Mitch tugged open the collar of her jacket, hesitated for a moment when he noticed she still possessed the triple star tattoo there. He caught her gaze, and his lips quirked in a small smile before he kissed the mark. One hand slid down her thigh and pulled her leg over his hip. Did Mitch still have the same symbol on his neck? The three of them had gotten those tattoos at the end of a long celebration after passing their midshipman examines. Ale may have dampened the needle pricks, but not their bond. No matter where they went after the academy, they'd wanted to stay connected. She'd never had the guts to have hers removed. Lara needed the warm, smooth skin of his back and wanted to believe him. Her comlink pinged on the Griffin's executive channel. Mitch dropped his forehead to her shoulder and sighed. It pinged once more before Lara caught her breath and tabbed it on.
"What is it, Rossa?"
"Sorry to bother you, Captain, but the Countess and the Defense Minister have been asking after both you and the Commodore. They're requesting a meeting as soon as possible."
Mitch sat up and ran his hands through his hair. On a deep breath, he seemed to mentally gather himself. He turned to her, a look of resignation on his face.
"Tell them we'll be at the yacht in 20 minutes.
He'd been about 3 minutes from getting Lara out of her clothes, out of that damned leather jacket, nearly telling her everything. Lara studied the holotablet, ignoring him. Mitch yearned to tell her the whole truth and bit his lip to keep the words from tumbling out. The door shifted and the Prime Minister entered with a few cabinet members following. Lara had been right. Mitch was going to have to tell them everything and find a way to live with himself afterward. With pleasantries out of the way, Sabina wasted no time in getting to her point.
"We're sending out search parties, Commodore Yoshida. Without your assistance, the search for our Shimmeran children may take some time, but we can sit still no longer."
Mitch considered all the frustrated faces in front of him, which included Cade and a handful of Osai's cabinet.
"Relations between our worlds have been amiable for almost 40 years, Minister, but we do not share all our activities with each other."
Sabina took a seat next to her daughter.
"Continuing to withhold the last known location of the Interlace will strain Creed's friendship with Terra, Commodore. This should be no surprise to you."
Lara set the holotablet aside. "Perhaps we can find some sort of middle ground." Sabina regarded her daughter.
"What are you suggesting, Captain?"
Mitch clenched his jaw to keep his mouth from falling open. Lara Soto was willing to compromise. Despite all the chaos surrounding their situation, he'd maintained peace and order by keeping his own counsel. Lara lived by her own rules, however, and right now Mitch wasn't sure what those rules were. Had he ever known? Lara looked him in the eye. "What if you appointed an intermediary? Someone both of you trusted, plus one other Creed?"
"You, I assume?"
Mitch moved to the window, his surprise barely in check.
"Who else?"
Lara nodded. "Myself and the Prime Minister. No other Creed need know the location. They trust me to act in their best interests. A few Creed ships could accompany the Griffin, under your command, on a rescue mission." He stared out the window.
"The Union doesn't want to be responsible for the welfare of Creed lives, Captain. Neither do I. Why are you comfortable with this arrangement? I didn't think you cared any more for Creed than you do for Terra."
"As I pointed out earlier to you, Commodore, this is no longer simply a search mission. The Shimmerans on board the Interlace are being held prisoner by a group called the Revenant. This is now a rescue mission. Even I'm not arrogant enough to think the Griffin alone can take on what must be a fleet of Revenant ships hiding out in a wormhole somewhere. Mitch clasped his hands behind his back.
We don't have time to retrofit Creed ships the way we altered the Griffin. Since this incident, the wormholes have been unstable. It's too dangerous.
Sabina glanced at Cade.
You underestimate how quickly we can recondition our ships, Commodore.
You know I'm right, Mitch.
He shrugged. If you're wrong, this could cost me my career.
It's worth the gamble to save 41 lives, yes? To save Raphael's life?
She might as well have punched him in the gut. He was responsible for the whole situation.
They'd both wanted to restart those long-ago experiments, but Mitch set Rafe on the path that led the Interlace disappearing. A maelstrom spun around him, whirls of confusion beyond his control. As had always been true, Lara Soto was an agent of chaos. Now his carefully laid plan had fallen apart because Lara had seen her brother in the wormhole. What if it hadn't been a hallucination, and Rafe had managed to contact her? Right now he could be suffering. Mitch had to give them something. Just not everything.
I want your promise this information won't go any further than the two of you.
Lara smiled. She'd expected him to capitulate. You have it. I want the Interlace comm logs, too.
Mitch nodded. Sabina motioned the cabinet members out of the room with a twist of her wrist. This was his best shot at getting Rafe and the rest of the Interlace crew back, so he had to take the risk. He would die trying to fulfill his promise to get them free. Chapter 8
Rafe wandered the nearly deserted Interlace, at least the parts that were accessible. Outside the infirmary viewport, the wormhole rift swelled as exotic matter continued to leak out of the void. At least he'd managed to free the Terrans, who'd been suffering more than any of the Chimerans on board. By now, though, even the Chimerans were succumbing to the immortal nothingness of the wormhole. He actually preferred the pain to this growing numbness. Holding out his hands, Rafe noticed how his skin had paled and that his phase shifted constantly. More troubling, the exotic matter outside beckoned to him like sirens to a sailor. He sensed its vibrating pulse beat throughout his body, its tendrils ready to do his bidding, just like Calendra. With a single thought, he could be out there melding with it, losing himself in it. Rafe had spent days by Calendra's side, immersed in a world of their own. They didn't need words. In this place, thoughts were enough. He learned much about the woman Calendra had been, gifted scientist, loving wife, and affectionate mother. She'd been ripped out of a plentiful life and, when coherent, still ached for it. Who awaited Rafe's return? No one yearned for his presence the way Calendra did. His parents and sister would miss him, but they were strong. They would move on eventually. Meanwhile, Calendra would be marooned here for all time.
Sweet, sweet, where are you?
Calendra floated across the infirmary ward, a ghost leading clouds of pale exotic matter in her wake. Before he could think, Rafe called up matter from the wormhole in response and stared as tendrils of his own branched out toward her. His body hungered for her. He needed to touch her, to touch someone, to alleviate the intense loneliness of this place. Calendra clasped his hand, and the shock of her touch reverberated along every nerve ending.
I've been looking for you.
He glanced over his shoulder.
I wanted to see the rift.
She nodded and leaned into him for a kiss. Their telepathic link had so far been weak, forged only one way by Calendra. Now Rafe yearned for a deeper communion, a more complete bond. Their tendrils enmeshed and he pulled her close. Then the Interlace began to vibrate, his bones and sinew humming in tune. Into the rift, the ghost of another ship appeared, their only connection to the outside world. Calendra ran a fingertip along his lips.
Your sister? So soon?
Rafe closed his eyes, searched for Lara's presence.
No, it's a Creed ship, the Bane.
Kalendra breathed deep, as if inhaling the delicious scent of food.
There are Chimerans on board.
She clutched his hand, prepared to whisk them away to the Bane.
No, Kalendra, don't harm them.
I need them. You know that, Rafe.
Promise me.
Kalendra sighed.
Very well. But don't forget that they have what I want, to exist in both dimensions. My people can interact with them, we can even hurt them. But we can't go with them when they leave.
Rafe nodded. Kalendra's misty tendrils swirled about them, and 1,000 shrieking voices echoed in the infirmary. The whirlwind carried them to the Bane's bridge. Bedlam greeted them. The captain slumped in his seat, blood dripping from his forehead. Every Chimeran on board was rolling on the deck in pain, while the rest of the Creed crew tried to stabilize the ship. Unknown to any Creed on board, other Revenants skulked the bridge, waiting for a sign from Kalendra. Rafe didn't have much time. He knelt by a young Chimeran woman, clasped her hand and dampened the chaos around them. Her face relaxed as her pain eased.
Will you help me?
The woman's eyes widened as Kalendra approached.
How could I possibly help you?
Kalendra settled a hand on his shoulder.
Oh, Rafe, but I want to play.
Help me free us from this place, Kalendra. Please, you don't have to live this way anymore.
He turned back to the Chimeran woman.
Will you relay a message for me?
She nodded. Rafe let his guard down, and his body rapidly switched between its two phase frequencies at random. He called up the exotic matter tendrils and wound them around the three of them, several seeping into the woman's ears, others whipping around his body. In seconds, her eyes rolled up into her head and showed completely white. He gave her one simple directive.
Find Mitch Yoshida. Tell him the experiment failed.
After Rafe delivered the last of his message for Mitch and Lara, Kalendra dispatched the Bane out of the wormhole. They were alone once again. The aches and pains wouldn't leave Mitch now until he left Creed's dimension. The wrist patch darkened daily, but he didn't need it to tell him how quickly his cells were losing integrity. He lay in the dark of his Nessa quarters, unable to stop clenching and unclenching his muscles, even though such attempts to mitigate the tension were futile. Even the rhythmic whir of the waves outside couldn't soothe him. He didn't belong here. As much as Mitch wished for the freedom of both worlds, only those like Lara possessed that. Mitch liked Creed, possibly because while here, he usually could forget about his troubles on Terra. Forget about how his homeworld changed since Lara left it. The door chimed, but before Mitch could get out of bed, it chimed again, and again. Someone really needed to see him, so he didn't bother pulling on a shirt, and answered the summons in only his loose-fitting black workout pants. The door dissolved, and he squinted at a knife of sharp yellow light. Lara breezed past him into the dark room.
You look like Hallis.
A whiff of fruity scent followed in her wake, the same fragrance from earlier today when they'd kissed. He couldn't stop thinking about the press of her warm lips.
I was sleeping. Is there a problem?
She grabbed his arm and flipped his wrist over. The heat from her hand seeped into his skin. You're shifting a little quicker than expected, aren't you?
Mitch snatched his arm back and rubbed his wrist. I'm fine. What's going on?
Lara frowned and walked to the window, her lithe body taut with anxiety. This was not good news. Lara Soto always looked him in the eye. He sat on the bed.
Tell me what's happened.
Lara scrubbed her hands over her face. My mother sent a ship into the wormhole.
Good thing he was sitting down.
We haven't retrofitted any of their ships yet. Sabina promised me she wouldn't. Do you now see why I didn't want to reveal the coordinates yet?
She just wants her son back, Mitch. Can't you understand that?
What she did is dangerous.
Call the ship back immediately. Sabina has no idea what she's done.
Too late.
Lara crossed her arms. The Bane has already returned. The wormhole shut it back out almost immediately, but not before depressurizing two decks and gutting an engine. The ship nearly ripped apart.
Mitch rubbed the back of his neck. How many are dead?
We haven't confirmed it yet, but we estimate about 50 people are missing. Another 30 are in an infirmary, suffering from phase fluctuations.
Mitch swore under his breath and searched for his T-shirt. The doctors aren't having much luck stabilizing the Terrans from the interlace. Do you think the wrist sinks can be reconditioned to help?
Lara hadn't moved from the portal window.
We have a bigger problem. Bigger than two crews dying from phase destabilization? What was your mother thinking? I hope she feels it was worth those 50-some lives.
While in the wormhole, one of the Bane crew, a Shimmerian, received a message from the Revenant. Mitch had found his shirt finally, but at Lara's words he didn't bother putting it on. The fine hairs on his arms stood on end.
What was the message?
Part of him had been expecting this. He deserved it. Lara crossed to him and put one hand on his chest. Her eyes were so wide, he could see the whites even in the dim light.
It's you, Mitch.
The Revenant have a message for you. The infirmary pod smelled of antiseptic. Lara breathed shallowly and tried to ignore it. Like all Creed medical pods, this one could connect to any large city pod to handle triage overflow issues or disconnect in quarantine situations. Late afternoon sunlight filtered through the corridor's small portal windows as she walked with Mitch to the ward where the Bane's Shimmerians were being housed. Outside, the noise of landing supply shuttles rattled the walls. She'd looked up Revenant in the history archives and found only the name of an ancient ship that had disappeared 1,000 years ago when the Creed still lived on land. A fairy tale. Mitch held his shoulders tight, his muscles a bundle of tension and his stride stiff.
The Bane was in wormhole space for merely minutes. How is it possible for the Shimmerians on board to have been affected so?
Lara shrugged. The Creed who returned were unscathed. She quickened her pace to keep up with Mitch. None of the Shimmerians are shifting phase like the Terrans from the interlace. They're just all incoherent or, worse yet, comatose. This patient has been asking for you since she regained consciousness. They turned a corner and found a group of medical staff clustered around a doorway. A single clear cry rose above the din of voices.
Mitch Yoshida! I need to speak to Commodore Yoshida!
Mitch faltered a step but kept going.
No doubts now.
Lara and Mitch pushed through the crowd. The last of the group moved aside to reveal a pale woman in the hospital bed. Her long brown hair hung limp around her face, and dark circles rimmed her eyes. The woman noticed Mitch immediately and held out a hand.
You're here!
Mitch moved closer and clasped the woman's hand as Lara motioned the crowd to disperse. She smiled and her papery skin crinkled.
I have a message for you.
Mitch nodded. From whom?
He said his name was Raphael.
Lara's breath hitched in her throat. A tingle snaked its way down her back. Mitch seemed composed, but Lara noticed the rigid line of his back. She shoved her hands in her pockets to refrain from rubbing the tension out of them. Mitch kept his voice even.
What message does Rafe have for me?
The woman squeezed Mitch's hand tighter, and he bent closer. Lara stepped forward, but as she neared the bed, her vision shrank to a tunnel, and she stumbled. Mitch moaned and fell forward over their clasped hands.
Wait. What? What had that woman done to him?
Around her swirled a frothy whirlwind of white clouds. Static noise thickened to voices, hundreds of voices. Forked tails of currents pushed her in all directions. Lara staggered to the bed and caught herself from hitting the floor.
Someone helped her stand and turned her around. Lara!
She should have known.
Raphael!
Lara jumped to hug her brother, but he held them apart.
I have only a few seconds. This Chimerian proved exceptionally pliable. I had no other choice. Listen to me. Without the upgrades, such as your ship had, the negative matter in the wormhole affects Chimerians differently. This woman is now able to project her own thoughts and feelings, even sense a little of your own. She agreed to be a conduit for me.
Mitch moaned again. If Lara concentrated, she could feel his discomfort as the muscles of his limbs contracted and his heart raced. Destabilization sickness. His time was running out. Through the pain, she heard Mitch's heartbeat, however, and hoped he would be all right for the next few minutes. Was this ability her own, or amplified in some way from Raphael? Raphael smiled.
Mitch can hear me too.
Lara grabbed Rafe's arm.
How can I get you out of that wormhole? Are you suffering? Who is the Revenant?
It's not just me. We have to free the others as well. Their pain is mine. I can't leave them here.
Don't sacrifice yourself for them.
The experiment failed. Follow the trail of negative matter. Examine the Interlaces comm logs. Do it quickly.
Raphael shucked off Lara's hand, and his image faded.
No.
Lara fell onto the bed. She fumbled for Mitch and found him almost unconscious, bent over the guardrail. She pulled his heavy weight off the rail and panted with the effort. Felt for a pulse and sagged against him when she found it. The Chimerian woman also seemed unconscious. Around them, alarms blared. Her mind struggled against Raphael's instructions. A trail to follow, comm logs, thought projection. At least her twin was still alive. Strong hands pulled Lara away from Mitch, and seconds later, bright lights were shown in her eyes. Other hands searched her body for broken bones. The alarms had stopped.
She's conscious. What about Commodore Yoshida? He's coming around.
Mitch called her name and her heart twisted. Had Raphael inadvertently hurt him? As much as she wanted to trust her brother, Calendra clearly held sway over the man.
I'm fine.
She shoved the medics aside and stumbled over to Mitch. The medical personnel had Mitch lying on his back on the floor, while others worked over the Chimerian patient. Lara flipped over his wrist. The phase patch registered nearly black. In just a few minutes, he destabilized so much that his time was up. Whatever voodoo Raphael employed could be speeding up the process. Lara smoothed a lock of hair off Mitch's forehead and tried to ignore the panic setting in that he could die. He clasped her hand and opened fully dilated eyes.
I talked to Rafe.
Lara gestured the medics away. The sensation was fading by the minute, but now that he was conscious, she felt Mitch's strong pulse, despite what the phase patch displayed. He would be all right for now.
I know. We both spoke to him.
He said to follow the negative matter trail.
Lara nodded.
We will. But you're destabilizing. First, we need to leave Creed.
Out of the question.
Sabina stood in the doorway, one hand on her heart.
We have to leave before Mitch and the other Terrans destabilize much more.
With a nod from Sabina, several medics left the room with just two remaining to stabilize the Chimerian woman on the bed. Her mother stepped forward and looked over the Chimerian woman with wide eyes.
There will be no more trans-D travel until we figure out what happened to the Bane.
Lara clenched a fistful of Mitch's uniform.
What happened to the Bane was you gave the go order before upgrades were complete. People died because of that hasty decision.
Regardless, trans-D travel is suspended.
Mitch pulled himself up to sitting.
You can't hold Terran citizens here, Prime Minister.
Lara stood up.
I'm not a citizen of Creed, and I will not allow you to hold the Griffin here against our will. You're sentencing the Terrans to death. Is that what you want?
What I want is my son back, and I don't want my daughter throwing herself into needless danger either. What if the Revenant attack? I have to think of the rest of the lives on Creed.
You can't hold us here.
Watch me.
Chapter 9. I forbid you to go.
Sabina met Lara's stare straight on. Lara wrestled down a roiling nausea. You're asking me to sentence Mitch to death. A whirlwind of fear and anger churned inside her and demanded that she whisk Mitch off Creed right now. To safety, away from this place that was breaking him to pieces. She followed Sabina's gaze as it drifted to the closed door of the private hospital room. Beyond it, Mitch lay in the dark, his muscles probably painfully convulsing with phase fluctuations. In about a day, his molecules would lose cohesion entirely. Meanwhile, she was arguing with her mother like the petulant teenager she used to be. Lara squared her shoulders and swept a glance over the empty corridor. We're leaving for Alpha Haven in a matter of hours, with or without your approval.
Do you want me to beg? Sabina clutched Lara's hand. Get down on my knees right now. I'll do it.
Lara stepped back and wrenched her hand free. She had never seen her mother so desperate.
No, I don't want you to...
Raphael might already be dead, Lara. I don't want to think about that any more than you do. But if saying it out loud scares you into staying here, safe with me, I'll do it. I can't protect you if you leave.
Lara squeezed her eyes shut. No, no, no. Raphael is not dead. I would know it. She slapped her palm on her heart. I would feel it. She backed away from her mother and sidled up to Mitch's door. There would be a new emptiness inside if her twin were truly gone. No matter how much time, space, or dimension separated her from Raphael and Mitch, the family bonds they created while at the academy still held. During her short time at school, the shuffling between her parents' worlds had ceased. The revolving chaos of her life had stopped with Mitch at its axis, the eye of the storm.
It won't work, Lara.
Her mother pointed at the hospital room.
Whatever this thing is you're doing with Commodore Yoshida won't work, just like last time.
Lara's heart cracked right down the center. You want him to die.
I most certainly do not want the Commodore to die, but he let you go once, my dear. He'll do it again.
Lara's breath shortened and she swallowed a curse. That Star Union edict had indeed derailed all her plans and ruined her life. She still mourned what could have been, but it was time for the truth. When she finally spoke, her voice sounded raw.
I pushed him away, Mother. I didn't want a lifetime separated like you and Dad lived.
Sabina's chin lifted.
You had the best of both worlds.
I had no home. We could all never live together as a family. I've never even shared a meal with the both of you.
Her mother's expression fell, and the corridor quieted except for the rhythm of the waves outside. After a few moments, Sabina pulled back her shoulders and gathered her wrap. Her clear aqua gaze pierced Lara from across the hall.
We did the best we could, Agrai.
Lara blinked away unshed tears and nodded.
I know.
I still just can't let you go into Trans-D space. Whatever has captured Raphael might come here. I have to protect all of Creed, even if I can't protect my own children.
And I can't stay here, Mother. I won't. It's not just Mitch. The interlaced Terrans can't live here indefinitely either.
Sabina sighed.
Will you at least delay one more day? We can meet with Mitch in the morning. As the Terran envoy, he deserves to be part of this decision.
Arms folded in front of her, Lara broke eye contact.
We're running out of time.
Please, Lara.
If this were anyone else but her mother. She nodded.
Fine.
With a murmur of thanks, Sabina departed, leaving Lara more alone than she'd been that first cold night after leaving the Star Union behind. The wrist sync's interface glowed green in the dark. Mitch held the device up and watched the light blink double time every few seconds as it rebalanced the phase difference with its environment. I pushed him away. Lara's words to her mother in the corridor echoed in his mind, the sharp edges slicing away at him.
He really shouldn't be surprised. Lara might have pushed him away, but he let her go. Both of them had been equally daunted by what their future might have held. He'd been a coward, a fact that had ached every day since. The spasms rolled over him again, and he clutched the wrist sink. The tremors began with a sharp pain in the gut that doubled him over. Joints contracted and crunched, as if full of glass shards. Mitch's stomach roiled, and only with panting did he keep down dinner. He crammed his eyes closed and waited for the seizure to pass. Enough. Judging by the argument outside, he would probably fade to oblivion before those two found a compromise. He knew what had to be done. Tuning the wrist sync to the frequency Rafe used in his experiment might kill him, but so would doing nothing. Time had finally run out. The right spin value had been burned into Mitch's mind from the moment Rafe transmitted it, right before the interlace disappeared. The experiment had worked for a few seconds at least before everything went to Hellas. Of course now, Lara would need to be told, and she would hate him for it. If this worked, at least he would be alive and could try to change her mind. Mitch's damp fingers slipped on the tiny keys and his hand shook, but he let out a sigh when the green light blinked speedily again, finally. Before he could put the damn thing on his wrist, though, muscles seized again and nausea churned. The device fell to the floor. Lara pushed away from the corridor wall, but refused to watch her mother march away. A decade ago, she'd decided not to live under someone else's rules and wasn't about to start now, even if those rules were her mother's. Besides, she had a plan to get them all back to Alpha Haven, and soon. As she entered Mitch's dark room, something clattered to the floor and the man groaned.
"Mitch!"
Her voice wobbled and her heart fluttered. They had to have enough time for her plan. They just had to. Lara wasn't ready to say goodbye to this man yet. Mitch cleared his throat.
"The wrist sink. Hand it to me."
Lara picked up the device and helped him wrap it around his clammy wrist.
"What are you doing?"
The device's interface lit up, rebooted and stabilized Mitch's phase.
"What the..."
Mitch sighed, and his whole body loosened in the bed, his face still in shadow.
"I thought I'd try. What did I have to lose?"
"It shouldn't be working for you. The wrist sinks only work for Shimmerans."
"I tinkered with it. Figured I couldn't be worse off."
Sadness welled up as a lump in Lara's throat, and her eyes burned with unshed tears. They had wasted so much time, and now might not have any left. Her mother wanted to take those remaining moments away, all to protect her. Lara clenched her jaw and crossed the room to the thing she'd brought with her last night. The hospital room's couch wasn't the most comfortable, but she'd slept in worse conditions. Mitch cleared his throat.
"So what's your plan? I know you must have one."
She shrugged. "Of course I do." He clicked on the bedside lamp. Its warm glow cast shadows on the rigid planes of his bare chest.
"Aren't you feeling like you've done this before?"
Lara paused in cramming the last of her clothes into the duffel bag. His skin looked ashen, and she swore that, despite the wrist sink, every few minutes his body shifted phase just a little bit more.
"You mean like when I left the Star Union?"
"There," she said it. Did Mitch think she wouldn't own up to her actions? Leaving the Union was one of the best decisions Lara had ever made. She gave up a lot, left her whole life behind. But the new life she built was better, wasn't it? 90% of the time she'd say yes. Mitch nodded.
"In the middle of the night, no less. We had dinner, and the next day you were gone."
Lara zippered the bag.
"We had a huge argument at dinner. I don't have to explain myself to you or anybody."
"No, you don't have to. But I'm asking you to."
She sighed and sank down on the couch. "What do you want me to tell you? That every day without you has seemed hollow?" He laughed, dry and ironic.
"I know you better than that, even after all this time."
Lara checked the charge on her plasma gun and holstered the weapon in her belt.
Using it would not just injure someone, but could irreparably damage Creed relations. Plus, if she used the wrist sync, she'd have to resync for the weapon to have any impact. They needed to set her plan in motion. Lara could end this conversation right now. Say something nasty to change the direction of Mitch's thoughts. Over the years, she'd found she could bulldoze most people and get them to do what she wanted. It was how she'd built two thriving colonies from nothing. Sometimes the way people listened to her scared her. Except Mitch was the one person who never succumbed. The one person who never allowed himself to be bulldozed. Lara raised her chin.
I asked you to come with me.
Mitch leaned forward, elbows on his knees and hands clasped together.
I didn't realize you were leaving that night. I underestimated you. Believe me, it won't happen again. I thought I still had time to convince you to stay. You did believe in the Union then, didn't you?
Lara nodded. I wanted to serve it, Mitch, and be valued for my contributions, too. Not just exploited for my talents. There's a difference.
We could have made that difference together. I would have come around to the problem, maybe even gone with you.
How was I supposed to know that? At the time, you seemed pretty intractable in your opinions. We both did, and I didn't want to live the kind of life my parents had. Mitch nodded and stood, his body supple in black workout pants and bare feet.
True.
His color warmed as she watched. Lara's comm link pinged, and she glanced down at the interface. It's Rossa. Mitch's face closed up. Apparently, he'd had enough for now of sorting through their past. He checked the wrist sync.
You're sure this plan of yours will work?
It has to work. You should know, though, that my plan isn't very by the book. Mitch stepped closer. An inch more and his bare chest would brush against her breasts. She pressed her palm over the strong beat of his heart, and the outside world slid away from them. They stood in the quiet before the storm. He pitched his voice low.
I'm not so by the book anymore, Lara. I want to continue this conversation. We need to hash this out once and for all.
Let's concentrate on getting the Griffin and Interlace crews back to Terran space first. All right? Mitch nodded. How are you feeling? He smiled, a real one that crinkled around his eyes.
I feel great, actually. Better than I have since we arrived.
He flipped his other wrist over. The patch had darkened considerably. Nearly no green remained. Lara's comlink beeped again. Rossa is waiting, but first...
First. Mitch wrapped an arm around her waist. First, tell me about this plan, Captain.
Mitch clenched a fist. His strength had been returning in the hours since switching the wrist sync's phase frequency. However, his vision clouded up every so often, as if he'd just woken from a long sleep. His muscles had spasmed hardly at all in the last hour, and the nausea had left him. He felt strong, grounded. Except he couldn't shake the sense that someone watched him, even alone as he was in the hospital room. Out the portal window, Creed's sun painted the sky in the soft shades of sunrise. He'd made it through the night. Maybe he could yet make it all the way to Alpha Haven, if Lara's plan worked.
You can convince her to stay. If you ask, Lara will stay here on Creed.
In the doorway, Sabina's elegant posture held her chin up, but even such regal bearing couldn't hide the dark circles under her eyes. Defense Minister Cade leaned on the door jamb a few steps behind and mirrored her determination with the set of his jaw. Phase one of the plan had just unfurled as expected, and neither of them had any idea about their part in it. Mitch's lips pulled up in a small smile.
No one can convince Lara to do something she's already decided against.
The Prime Minister set her shoulders back.
You really are a coward.
Mitch narrowed his eyes.
Tell me, Madam Osai.
He lifted his shirt from the bed and put it on.
When the Star Union issued its edict about the Chimerans, were you secretly happy? You weren't Prime Minister then, but as the mother of the Chimeran leader,
I'm sure you were apprised of the situation. Creed had its own edict waiting, didn't it?
Cade pushed away from the door.
Now, Commodore, how dare you?
Mitch held up a hand.
I've heard the rumors. You stalled the Creed ultimatum and expected the Star Union edict to push Lara back to you. Creed ruined that plan when it declared the Chimeran special weapons against Terra, and your daughter fled.
I am trying to protect my family and my people, Commodore. Unlike you, I don't shirk my responsibilities.
I may have stubbornly avoided you all these years, madam, but I've only been a coward once. We both let Lara down in the past. I won't do it again.
Mitch caught motion behind Cade. Lara filled the doorway with a wide stance and plasma gun in hand. She pointed it at Cade's chest.
Both of you are coming with me. Like it or not, Mother, you're taking a trip to Alpha Haven.
Chapter 10 Lara tossed a comm link at her mother, and Sabina caught it.
Evacuate the hospital now, Mother.
Lara, whatever you're thinking.
Lara grabbed Cade's arm.
Place the order.
Sabina carried out the command, and in seconds the klaxon blared. Doctors, nurses, and other staff scurried down the corridor, patients in tow. Organized chaos. Lara's gaze darted to Mitch. Fear flared in her stare for a split second before she clamped it down. He vowed to never let her face such crossroads alone again. Lara pocketed the gun but kept a balanced grip on it.
Ready?
Mitch finished lacing up his boots and grabbed his jacket.
Absolutely.
Just hours ago, his legs hadn't worked, but now his muscles were ready to face a marathon. Energy coursed through his veins.
You got one of those for me?
Lara handed him a plasma gun, handle first. With eyes only for the commotion in the corridor, she snagged her mother's arm and hustled her to the doorway.
Hide the gun in your pocket. We have about 5 minutes until my mother's personal guard realizes she's missing.
Mitch nodded and pulled out his comlink.
Yoshida to Rasa. Status.
Rasa's contralto fizzed over the connection.
We're collecting the Terrans now.
Affirmative. Continue as planned, he replied.
Lara flashed 5 fingers twice at him.
Pilot station ETA is 10 minutes.
Rasa, out.
Lara dragged her mother into the corridor's current of people, and Mitch followed behind Cade, stride strong. The wrist sink snug on his arm reassured him, but how long would its effects last? The noise in the passageway grew, and people sped by his peripheral vision. He easily kept pace, but several times he jerked sideways, expecting to see someone right beside him. Cade sent him a sidelong look. Nerves and a lack of sleep must be getting to him. Sabina twisted her arm to try to get free.
Why are we going to the pilot station?
Lara's grasp remained firm as she chanced a look at her mother. When your security detail realizes what's happened, they'll lock down the whole pod. I can't let that happen. I'll detach the infirmary if I have to. Sabina snapped her mouth closed in a hard line and shook her head. They marched along the predetermined path, winding through corridors and fleeing staff. In the confusion, a few people jostled them, but no one really paid much attention. After a few minutes, the passageways thinned out, and their footsteps echoed on the decking. Soon they came to the pilot station hatch. Lara set her back to the wall next to the entryway.
Open it.
The Prime Minister clasped her hands at the waist.
I'm not going to help you get yourself killed.
Lara ground her teeth and looked her mother in the eye. Despite you, I'm going to get Raphael back. I'm going to get Mitch and the Terrans to safety. Now open the damn door or I'll blast it. Sabina sighed but complied and punched in the proper access code. The locking mechanism thumped and Mitch swung the hatch open. Lara hauled her mother and Cade inside, then pointed her gun at the helmsman.
Leave, now.
The startled man put up his hands.
What's going on? Prime Minister?
Evacuate, Captain.
Sabina motioned to the door.
I can take care of this situation.
The officer hesitated for a few seconds, but then nodded and left,
leering at Lara and Mitch as he went. Lara marched over to the command center and toggled through the interface. Equipment lined the oval room, and sunlight streamed from the large porthole directly ahead. Numerous monitors showed evacuating staff. One displayed the pod's docking clamp still intact. Another showed Rossa and the Terrans approaching the end of a hallway. Mitch checked in with Rossa again. Rossa sounded winded.
Two more hatchways and we'll have a clear path to the tarmac.
Sabina dropped into the helmsman's chair, Cade at her side.
You can put the gun away, Commodore. I'm not going anywhere now.
Mitch shook his head and looked over Lara's shoulder. She powered through menus, trying to stay ahead of security locking down the corridors. The klaxon alert changed, and the lighting blinked to red. A voice announced, "Lockdown complete."
"Damn it!"
Lara pushed away from the station and pulled out her comlink.
"Rossa, please tell me you're clear." "Negative! One more hatchway between us and the tarmac! It's locked down, Captain! We're trapped!"
Mitch caught Lara's gaze.
"Can she use a wrist sync to access the other side of the hatch?"
Lara shook her head and held up a braceleted wrist.
"We only have these two. The rest are aboard the Griffin. There might be a few on the Calypso, but I can't divert Chandra from the shuttle. Not when he'll have to take off in a few minutes."
Mitch leaned over Lara's console.
"There has to be a manual override for the docking clamps."
Again, he sensed motion in his peripheral vision, and a cold sweat blanketed him. He darted a glance at Sabina and Cade, but neither had moved. Mitch checked the wrist sync settings. Lara toggled through blueprints on another monitor.
"Here!"
She pointed and reset the access to her fingerprint.
"I'll go. It's two levels down, but I can take the external stairs."
She flicked his hand over, wrist sync interface up.
"You okay?"
Her brow furrowed, and Mitch resisted the urge to smooth it out with his thumb.